It is so good to see our next guest. He is a playwright. His new play is Gertrude and Claudius. It is billed as a prequel to Shakespeare's Hamlet. It began performances at Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield last night. It officially opens July 21st and runs through August 3rd on the Boyd Quinson main stage. The play is by playwright Mark St. Germain, author of The Best of Enemies, Dancing Lessons, Dr. Ruth All the Way, and the long-running off-Broadway hit Freud's Last Session, among many other plays. Gertrude and Claudius is based on John Updike's 2000 novel of the same title. The story shows Queen Gertrude's relationship with Hamlet's father, who appears only as a ghost in the Shakespeare play, and how she conspires with his brother Claudius to commit the murder that sets in motion the events of the classic drama. St. Germain has a long history with Barrington Stage, this being his 13th play produced by the company. Is that correct?
13? Not a lucky number, but yes, 13. I was hoping they'd say 12th or 14th. But
well, yeah. It's a lucky number if, you know.
It will be with this show.
On your way to 14, you got to go through 13 eventually.
That's right.
Mark St. Germain, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being here. What a delight to have you in the studio. So when did your interest start in Gertrude and Claudius?
Well, it was commissioned by Orlando Shakespeare, and they wanted to get the rights to the book. And luckily, David Updike, John's son, was very helpful in doing that. So we did it a couple months ago at Orlando Shakespeare. They did it in repertory with Hamlet. Mm-hmm. So they could use the same cast. And this is being it stands on its own, certainly. But someone who comes to see Gertrude and Claudius, it is a prequel. You get to see the development of the love story between Gertrude and Claudius. You see Hamlet develop, grow up in front of us. Polonius, his age increasing and his personality getting a little more flustered as he grows older. So it's really kind of a delight to see echoes of what Updike did.
So that actually brings me to the question I wanted to ask you, which I think is so fascinating to me, is that I would think it would be hard enough in a commission or even in a work of saying, okay, I'm going to write a prequel to Shakespeare. So you're dealing with Shakespeare, but oh, by the way, you're also dealing with John Updike.
Right.
Either one of those is a giant. And it is, so to take on two, that would seem to me to be quite a task.
Well, it was a task in surprising ways. I found that when I first did the first draft, Updike is wordier than Shakespeare, which it doesn't really, until you speak it, you don't see it because it's so beautifully written. But it's different on the page than on the stage. So there needed to be a lot of cutting just of the dialogue that he wrote in it. And then there were also connective scenes that needed to be written and many injections of humor through it. So I couldn't think of Shakespeare or Updike while I was doing it. I think I was very intimidated at the beginning with Updike, but I had to lose it.
But do you want to hone in on the language and keep that and at least have that have some consistency?
Yes. Well, I think that Updike set a style for himself that was not Shakespearean, but it was elevated language, beautifully poetic, though it's not written in poetry. Once he set that, the job then was imitating his tone.
Mm. And when you imitate that tone and thinking of what he was saying in the novel, does the novel become the Bible, if you will, of going back and saying, okay, I want to do this, but I want to make sure that it's true? Or how much latitude do you give yourself?
Yeah, with this, not a lot of latitude. I wanted to do the story that he wrote, and there are embellishments, and there are connective scenes that needed to be written. And that was really where the new material came in. But it was trying to distill what he had into a stage production.
When you think of his work, Updike's work, and because this was a bit of a departure for him.
Yes, absolutely. But it's funny because I was unpacking books 2 days ago, and which there were too many books.
Which will never stop.
Never stop. And when I got to Updike, I was amazed how many different, well, I have a lot of his books, but the right. styles are all over the place. And he just constantly experimented.
Well, he would do, he did reviews, he did essays, right. he did poetry, he did everything. Novels,
everything.
Nonfiction, everything.
Everything. Right.
And so I guess in that, it gives you a little latitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was latitude. It had to be adapted.
Right.
And like I said, it's a whole different medium, so you have to think differently.
When you look to stage this on the main stage at Barrington Stage, what is obviously this is a space you are very familiar with. So do you kind of keep that in mind? How does that work into what you're? I mean, I know it was written with Orlando
right,
initially,
right.
but now bringing it to this main stage and having it more fleshed out.
Well, the designers did an incredible job with this. It was jolting to go from the rehearsal hall into the main stage. The set is overwhelming, and it just brings you back in time, and the costumes are spectacular. So in that way, even though the cast is not huge, it fills the stage, and it's a good fit there.
The idea then, so let's flip to Shakespeare for a second, so that if I'm interested, and I like that idea, I think that idea is fascinating of them running in rep, that but if I come in, it does stand on its own. I think most of
sure.
us know the story of Hamlet. So
yeah.
we go in and we become captivated by that tale. And of course, you're paying homage to Shakespeare as well because you're using
right.
these characters.
Right. And there were a lot of little Easter eggs, if you could say that, of that you'll hear speeches here that will come back in Hamlet or some of the allusions that are made. So, yeah, it's you definitely don't have to see Hamlet. The story is told right up to the beginning of Hamlet.
Okay, so let's talk about you. as I mentioned, this is the 13th play that you've done with Barrington Stage. How did your relationship with this company, and I assume Julianne Boyd,
right.
yeah, of how that relationship comes to be, of an artistic one that allows you to be so prolific in one place?
Well, the gift is having a home,
yeah.
and so many people don't have that. I met Julie years and years ago. The first play I wrote got an award from an amateur theater group in Jersey City. But it just so happened the director was Julie's lawyer.
It always starts with the lawyer, doesn't it?
It started with the lawyer. And Julie said, I'm doing a new project. Can you find a writer who's not crazy? So he didn't know me well enough, and he recommended me. And since then, I've worked with Julie countless times. And when she started Barrington Stage, it's the 25th year this year, she asked me to be on the board. So we've been together a long time.
A long time. And so when – how do I ask this? So when you're there and Orlando Shakespeare calls up and says, we'd like you to do this play – are you cheating on them when you do that? Or
no,
are they're
no.
all okay? Or
no,
they know it's
no.
eventually going to come home to roost? Or?
Well, it would be Julie's choice whether she was interested or not. She
yeah.
couldn't commit beforehand. And there were things that I do that are done at other theaters. I always bring the play first to Julie or an idea to Julie.
Yeah.
And sometimes she's interested and sometimes she isn't. So luckily, she's been interested quite a bit.
And the work that you have done there, it's also a great place for it to go elsewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
For it
mm-hmm.
to get notoriety, to move on for whatever right. life a play may have.
Right. Well, a number of them have gone into New York, but even the ones that haven't, Dancing Lessons, for instance,
yes.
That gets done a lot in this country, but it's also been done in other countries and touring in France. It was just done in Germany. So it gets around.
Do you have a sense I suppose the answer is no. I'm going to ask this question anyway, mm-hmm. which is that, oh, I wonder why that play didn't hit like the like this one did.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. There were two that were very disappointing to me. It was Best of Enemies, for one.
Yeah.
Although that still gets done a lot.
Yes.
And Dancing Lessons, that it, the disappointment was they weren't done in New York. And it becomes an economic situation. If they're done in New York and they have the New York reviews, they tend to do better and get into other seasons of other theaters.
And so another way of asking the question is Freud's Last Session mm-hmm. was a show that probably had the best, the most commercial success
right.
of your work.
Right.
Do you feel that it's some of your best work?
I would hope it's good work, but it was really, and I've been told this so often, it was a fluke that who would have thought a play about Freud and C.S. Lewis would have the run it did.
Yeah.
And when we had it at Barrington Stage, it was doing very well. The producer tried to get a number of producers interested in New York, and the reaction always was, why would we do this play when people are going to go see a play where somebody's singing and dancing? Why do they want to listen to a play about Freud and C.S. Lewis talking about death and God and sex and life? So you never know which one will catch on.
Let me ask you about inspirations of, because I just love, sometimes I'm accused of sleeping in the theater, and which is not true, but when I go to a play especially, I do like to shut my eyes every once in a while and just concentrate on the language,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's beautiful language. And do you, how in your maturation as a playwright and even in growing up, were you fascinated by the language of the theater?
Yes, definitely. And it's all about the language to me. I have written for television. I've written for film. I cannot write a novel for the life of me because I'm not interested in description. I'm interested in people talking to each other. And there's a difference.
The difference to me meaning that the words mean something, and
right.
they are conveying. They are the center. They are the truth.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what else is going on. It is what
right.
is being said.
Exactly. It's people talking to each other and people having conflict with each other. If there's no conflict, there's no play.
With that said, also you were talking earlier about John Updike and his great diversity. But you've had great diversity as well. So the same guy who writes a play about Freud and C.S. Lewis becomes best friends with Dr. Ruth. That's interesting and cool, right?
It is. She has turned out to be a great friend.
I mean, and that was a neat show because you tell her story,
mm-hmm.
and she embraces it. She's there.
Yeah, she was
very present.
She was always present, but never interfered in anything. She said at the beginning, I know what I don't know, and she was true to that.
Yeah.
There were very few changes that she asked for, less than five, I'm sure, and they were all factual, not interpretation.
Do you relish that idea of working with someone of because to me it would be risky of saying I'm going to write about someone's life and oh, the person is right here with me.
Right. Well, I wouldn't have written it unless I thought she had an amazing life and that it would inspire people. Mm. Just like with Best of Enemies, that they're real people and two out of the three were alive. So I just wanted to get their story out there.
How do you think Gertrude and Claudius can inspire us?
I think it gives us a deeper appreciation of Hamlet, which the main reason I think it's great to see a love story where the two people are not 17, 18 years old. This is a mature love story.
Right.
I think Updike's language is beautiful, and it's filled with action. We're talking, this is a murder. And we're also seeing characters through a new lens. Gertrude's opinion of Hamlet, she sees him growing up, and she's very concerned about him, and with good reason. So Updike has really filled in the background of a lot of these characters.
The play Gertrude and Claudius runs through August 3rd on the Boyd Quinson main stage at Barrington Stage in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. You can go to their website, barringtonstageco.org, for more information, barringtonstageco.org, and find out the full schedule. It runs through August 3rd, the official opening being July 21st. Mark, it is always a pleasure to have you on this program and to talk to us. I appreciate your great insight, and congratulations.
Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.